Charos. Hi, Chester. Good to see you. Hi, Lou Rock. Hi, BP. Hi, Moonshine Cajun. Hi, Moonchild.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Old Man's Podcast Show with Dina, Joe, and Eric, coming to you live from across the United States of America. From Georgia to Washington State, swinging back by the lovely state of Colorado. Come to you with smiles on our faces and joy in our hearts.
Thank you,
hope everybody's doing good.
Hello.
I hope you're doing good, Eric. Hi, Dina Joe.
Good morning, Tom.
When I say hi to you, that's the only time I know if anybody hears me. Oh, man. It is Monday, May 9th. Hope everybody had a good Mother's Day yesterday. We had a pretty mellow, non-eventful day.
Hi, Jess.
It's Duck.
Good to see everybody. Get your coffees going. Get your coffee poured. Grab a donut. Pull up to the table. That's it. Damn. I don't know. It's one of those days. Podbeam did it to us again. They changed stuff without giving us any kind of notice, and now nothing is the same. It's all acting weird. Mm. Oh. But at least we got the show started.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know. I opened up my computer, but, you know, like I usually have shortcuts all the way across.
Right.
They're all gone. They're all changed.
Yeah.
To all kinds of, I'm like, well, what the heck?
Hi, SJ.
I don't want any of these things here.
I try not yet. Yeah.
Where are mine?
Give us a warning. That's all we ask. We just say, give us an email. Hey, we're going to change things on the night of May 8th. We're going to go in. Our tech crew is going to go in and make some changes.
Hi, D. Good to see you.
Just give us a heads up. Come on.
Hey, D-Mac. Welcome.
Man. I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't tell me
I can have shortcuts. That I have all your shortcuts here if you like. This isn't Podbean. This is just my computer. This is
I know
the internet. And it's
yeah.
Yeah. It's like, well, wait a minute. You just told me I could have everything I want here, so it's easy to get to. And now you just changed it all on me.
Yeah. Google.
I don't want eBay. I don't want Wayfair. I don't want QVC.
I don't want Disney.
I don't want Kohl's. That's what they gave me. Somebody wants me to shop.
I want my shortcuts,
yeah.
Not yours. I hear you.
Google does that to me. All my music stuff is gone.
Google goes, we went through an update. I look at all my shortcuts are gone. It's like, what the French toast is going on here? You know. Come on, people. Come on.
All right. We got to already.
Yep. Sorry. We don't appreciate that kind of language. You're going to have to change your profile name.
All right.
Putting you on a block. Bye. Get out of here. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah. Good times. So, did you have a good Mother's Day, Dina Joe?
It was okay.
Good. You want to, I don't know if everybody knows, but do you want to tell us? What the world did you do to your toe, your foot? Good grief.
Oh,
pictures are horrible.
I know. I was working out, and instead of putting a kettlebell on the floor like I should have done, because you're not, if you've ever had a kettlebell, there's just a little small amount on the bottom that's flat. I just sat it back on the bench, which I should not have done. Hi, Mr. A, and I learned the hard way because it rolled right off onto my foot. So
that's a big metal ball. For those that don't know, that's a big metal ball with a handle on it.
Yeah. So don't pull a Dina Joe and put it on. Try to place any shortcuts. Put it on the floor where it should go.
Mm-hmm. Now, does it have
Thank you, Mr. A. Thank you.
Does it have a flat bottom on it? It should have a flat bottom on it.
Yeah, very small flat very bottom. Small and the rest of it is round. So I didn't put it completely on. You know, I didn't set it right in the middle.
Sure.
I wasn't looking. I just sat it down. I'm trying to move on to something else. And
That's too tough, man. Mm-hmm. Man, it is just nasty. And you know, being being the lower extremity, the foot, that's where all the blood goes, and it'll just look terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Does it feel as bad as it look, or does it feel okay?
The bottom of it, it's weird because the top part where you see all the bruising now took a couple days to get like that. The bottom was weird to me because, you know, it hit the top of my foot and the bottom of it was like bruised so bad. And it has like a little, there's so many little bones in there. There's like a little bump on the big toe. But there's nothing. I have literally broken three toes on my other foot, and they put me in an air.
Oh yeah, place. Yeah, those air masks.
Yeah, because there was three of them. Yeah, so there's not a whole lot.
Yeah. Excuse me. Well, I'm just be careful. Just be careful.
I guess. Somebody put in the chat, let's see, it was going really fast. I just got it messaged to me that that they're going to start a GoFundMe for steel shoes for me.
Steel toe boots, yeah.
Yes. That's funny.
That is funny.
Shonda. Good to see you, Shonda.
Oh man.
Public service announcement, don't do that. Don't pull a Dina Joe.
How heavy is that? How heavy is your
couple? 10 pounds.
Oh my God. 10 pounds is a lot when it's coming at you from about a foot or 2 foot up.
Yeah. Your foot breaks the fall.
My goodness. Well, it's good to see everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. Welcome everybody to the live chat. Good to see you. Thank you for coming in and joining the live show.
Welcome.
If you're listening to us on a download through one of the platforms where you can download it, thank you very much. Hit that follow button. Give us a follow. Come on back and join the pod people. We appreciate it. And if you're listening to us at the replay show, which is at 11 a.m. Pacific time, on the WESN, thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company, and thank you for your support. Yes, sir.
Oh, and I'm not letting it stop me either. I've still done
two miles
each day. And, you know, because I figured after I had back surgery, they got me up the next day wanting me to walk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And right. I had back surgery, so I figure even if there's something a little broken, I'm just being careful. I'm sure if it hurts, I'm not putting a lot of pressure on it. So,
if you had broke something, you'd know.
It would be, it'd be really painful.
It'd really hurt to walk. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not hurting that bad anymore. Yeah. I mean, it just hurts a little bit. So.
Yeah. I will suggest that you do try to spend some time with it elevated though, so that blood doesn't settle on your foot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get that foot up. Get that foot up, put some ice on it, and, you know, just for 20 minutes a day or something like that.
Yeah, I have a doctor's appointment this afternoon for another reason, but I'm going to pull my foot out and say, hey, check this out.
And he's going to go, oh, for criminy's sake.
Jeez. Hi, T-Gun. Good to see you. He goes, what do we have to do?
Wrap you in bubble wrap?
Probably.
Bubble wrap, yeah.
Girl in a Bubble.
Yeah, that's funny.
I remember that movie, The Boy in a Bubble.
Born in a Bubble, yeah. Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen it, but I remember it.
I remember it was on, it was a TV show, wasn't it? On TV, like a night, or was it a, I thought I remember seeing it at home. Like it was on TV.
Yeah. It was some kind of special thing. Yeah. And it was based on a real thing. Kid living in a bubble because he had no immune system.
Mm.
Anything and everything would make him sick, I guess. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And he finally, he has a girlfriend. And so he steps out of the bubble. We can, you know. Hold her hand and get a little smooch. Oh, yeah. I wonder how that kid's doing. I wonder how that person's doing, if he's still alive. I'm sure he is. I don't know. Be interesting to follow up on that. Hey, so I haven't seen Ralph. Is Ralph in the chat?
I haven't seen Ralph. I have not seen Ralph. I see Aaron, but I don't see
Yeah, hi, Aaron. Well, good. I'm glad Aaron's here because we need to get going on sports. It's been a heavy weekend with sports.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Are you there, Aaron? I don't see you. Did you call in?
There he is.
All right. Hold on, Aaron. Oh, yeah.
Hey, the Old Man's Podcast Show with Dina, Joe, and Eric presents the A-Dog Sports Report starting right now.
Hey, everybody. Hey, old man.
Good morning, Aaron.
Hi, Aaron.
Good to see you, buddy.
So, guys, I have some breaking news that I heard this morning.
Wait.
So I heard from ESPN that one of my favorite Nuggets players, Nikola Jokic, he's going to be voted NBA MVP for the second year in a row.
Nice. Nice.
Found out just this morning.
Right. Now are the Nuggets still in the playoffs? They're still in the playoffs, aren't they?
No, they got eliminated.
Okay.
Yeah. But I heard Jokic is going to be voted most valuable player for the second consecutive year this morning.
Well, there you go. Well, that's good. Good news. Well, congratulations. And I guess your Avalanche are kicking butt in the hockey.
Yeah, they won 7-3 back on a Saturday against Nashville.
Yeah, they're 3-0. They just need to win one more. They just need to get one more.
Yeah, one more win and they'll be in the second round.
Yeah, exactly. So that's pretty exciting stuff. I've watched them play. They play some good. They play some good hockey. They really do. I'm impressed. Yeah. I'm impressed. They're tearing it up. What else is going on, Aaron?
I've been watching a lot of college softball lately, and I'm excited because this Sunday is going to be selection Sunday for college softball. So you get to see who's in the college softball tournament for this year.
Uh huh.
So it's like their selection Sunday.
Okay.
So is anybody? Are you looking? Has anybody impressed you in the college?
Well, I heard Oklahoma's softball team, they're really good this year. They've won like 40 games and have only lost one game. So like 40, there's like 40-1.
Yeah, I don't remember I don't remember what team it was, but I saw where someone had pitched a no-hitter not too long ago in college. Pitched a no-hitter in college softball. Yeah, the crowd and the teams went crazy. When she got that last pitch, I think she threw a total of 28 pitches, something like that. I'm not sure.
Something like that, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't heard of it.
College softball, man. That is a good game. Those girls know how to play some baseball, man.
Yeah. I'm starting to become a fan of it too, honestly, because of the games I've seen this year. There's been some good amounts of offense in them.
Yeah, you know, and what makes it better is it's because the field is, you're thinking, well, they're playing on a small field. They're actually playing on a field that is the size of a little league field.
Yeah, and but so the whole infield is like all dirt.
Yeah, and even though the ball is bigger, but they're pitching and hitting is just as hard and fast as Major League Baseball. So, I mean, college men's baseball, at least. So the fields are shorter, the distances are shorter, and then balls are coming at you just as fast. So it is a fast-paced game. I mean, the infield plays are unbelievable. Those girls, I mean, they have got some quick reflexes, man. They're snagging them balls
in
the infield and all that before they get out. It's a real enjoyable game. Real enjoyable game.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't checked out college softball, which is the girls' teams, you need to watch a game or two and really appreciate what they're doing out of that field. Good games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else you been watching, Aaron?
This Thursday, we get to find out who our favorite NFL teams will be playing this year because it will be the schedule release.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so the whole league will reveal their whole, you know, all the primetime games, which team is what each team's schedule is going to be. Uh-huh. And I found out that my Denver Broncos are going to be playing a game in London on October the 30th against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's something. Now, I thought I read something, Aaron, that there was going to be an NFL game in Germany. Have you seen or heard anything about that?
Yeah, I heard about that. I heard that on the Pat McAfee show that he showed where he revealed all the games that were going to be all the international games.
Uh-huh.
Three of them are going to take place in London. One's going to be in Munich, Germany. And then the last one will be in Mexico City. But that one's going to be a Monday Night Football game.
Huh. Wow. Oh, I just reading your mom's post, Dina Joe's post. That's sad, Dina Welcome Joe.
Paulina. Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah. Hi, Paulina.
So what's going on? How are the NBA playoffs shaping up for you, Aaron? What do you think is going to
happen? I've only seen one game. I have, all their games recorded to watch. The only game I saw was between the 76ers and the Miami Heat, and the Heat won 119-103. Can't remember which game it was, but I think the series might be tied. But I'll have to look it up and see where the series is at.
Golden State still in it?
They're playing against Memphis in the second round.
Okay. Because I'd still like to be able to see a game of them so I can watch Stephon Curry play. I still want to see that.
Yeah,
game.
Curry's going to the Hall of Fame for sure when his career is over.
And then plus two, he just seems like a nice guy, you know? But every time their game's on, there's a hockey game on. And I guess, you know, I just thought of something, Aaron. I guess I could record the game, huh?
I've
got that capability. I never remember to use it, though.
Good to see you.
I might have to record a game and watch it.
Yeah, that's what Aaron
I heard there was a long that. Shot that won the Kentucky Derby over the weekend, too.
I just read that headline. I have no information on that
at all. My dad, he showed me the highlight of the horse that won was called Rich Strike, and he was 80-1 odds to win the Kentucky Derby.
Oh my gosh. So that means if you bet a dollar on it, you won 80, right? I think.
Like that, but I don't know how those work. But
I don't either.
My dad showed me the highlights where he was slowly making his way up to the front. And then right down the front stretch, he really pushed himself and then just got right at the front and crossed the finish line and won the whole thing.
Oh my gosh.
And that made me think, what if I had a racehorse? You know what I would name them?
What?
Flapjack.
Flapjack? Why Flapjack?
I just thought it would, because, well, to be honest.
They have unusual names, so.
Yeah, the highlights I saw last year's Kentucky Derby, there was a horse called Soup and Sandwich, and I was like, what the heck? Soup and Sandwich?
See?
Soup and Sam. I'm like,
welcome
what?
FTQ. Welcome.
That'd be
great. Yeah, I would just call my racehorse Flapjack.
All right.
They're coming down here. We got Flapjack.
It's easier to say than Soup and Sandwich.
Yeah. I mean, I do like pancakes because they also call them Flapjack. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Flapjack. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That'd be a pretty cool
We haven't
name.
Said one thing about the Avalanche. Whooping.
Oh, we said a little bit. We said a little bit about him. This is just the first. This is their cleaning house. They're going to win their series. The next game, they're going to win their next game. So then they're going to be on a break while everybody else is going to a seven-game series. They're done. They've won their series in four games. I'm predicting that they will win their fourth game, and then they've got a big break while everybody else is still battling it out and beating on everybody and all this and that. They're going to be taking a break, healing their licking and wounds, practicing, and be fresh for the second round. Yeah. Yeah, BP says that the Black Rifle car finished 12th. Actually, I saw a race where the Black Rifle car finished second. Finished second.
Hi, Paul. Good to see you.
I saw the interview with the driver.
Thank you for coming in.
So I don't know how many races they're running, but yeah, the Black Rifle car seems to be doing good. As a matter of fact, the statistics I saw on that car said that they've had 8 top 5 finishes.
Oh, that's not bad.
See you later.
No, that's good.
We saw Grammy and I saw them interviewing these drivers, and it looks like they just got their regular driver's license last week. These guys look so young. I mean, it's like,
yeah,
is he old enough to even be driving?
Yeah, and some of the races I've watched this year, like the winners are like racers I don't even like. I had not even known about. I'm like, who the heck is this guy?
Oh, you know what? That's a sign of.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Aaron, do you know what that's a sign of?
What?
You're getting old, brother. You're getting old.
I'm not that old. Come on. I'm still a kid at heart. Come on.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, we know. But I don't know. When you start looking at people thinking that they're like that, they're young. I don't know. It's just like me. When I look at any kind of sporting event now, whether it be Major League Baseball, basketball, football, hockey, I'm always saying, what are we watching? High school? Look at all these kids. They look like high school players. Yeah. All right, Aaron. I'm just trying to tell you, it's creeping up.
I know.
You're only as old as you think, Aaron.
Yes, and I believe that. I believe that 100%.
Yeah.
So anybody there could still be a kid at heart. Come on.
That's right.
Yes.
Jeez. You're right, Aaron. You're right. You're only as young as you. I was going to say as you feel. Well, if that's the case, I feel pretty old. I'm pretty old.
not that one.
Yeah. What you said, Dina Joe. So, any did you catch any Major League Baseball games?
Just one. Yesterday on Mother's Day, it was the first televised Major League Baseball game on NBC in 22 years.
Really? Wow.
Between the Chicago White Sox and the Boston Red Sox.
Ain't that something? The Sox series.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, I wanted the White Sox to win because I do not like the Boston Red Sox.
Do not
like them at all.
Yeah, Grammy looked at me over the weekend. She goes, so what are we going to watch? Because we have been watching hockey like crazy. She goes, so what are you going to watch? She goes, baseball?
I'm going,
that must be a hint that she wants to watch a little baseball. So we did it. We caught a Houston Astros game because that's the team I like. So we caught the Astros.
Who are they playing?
Gosh, I don't remember now, Aaron. I don't remember who they were
playing. Was it like a divisional matchup or something against the Angels or something?
No, I have no idea. I don't know, Aaron. All I know is I turned on the game and got a chance to, and I saw my favorite player, Jose Altuve. He struck out when he got – no, wait. He flied out his first bat, and I'm watching the game. He gets up again. Second at bats I'm watching, and first pitch, home run. Bam. Just parks it. And it just amazes me how that guy can hit baseballs.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I've seen pitches like that being hit with like you could tell like when it's getting hit a long way after it gets hit off the bat.
He hits it so effortless. I mean, it doesn't look like he's swinging that hard or fast. and it's just a clean hit of the ball, and he's always goes after.
Good to see you.
Chances are he's going to go after that first pitch. He's going to go after that first pitch.
Yeah, if you see the highlight from the last All-Star game, which was here in Colorado, Vlad Guerrero Jr., like on one pitch, like you can hear it off the bat. Like he sent the ball almost to the concourse in left field. He hit it a ton. And I've seen this highlight like over and over, and I still remember. I was like, holy cow.
Yeah.
He totally just like hit a – not – no pun intended, a mile high. So
Oh, jeez. Hi, Jack. Good to see you.
Yeah, and but he still hit it so far, though.
Yeah.
The highlights still exist on YouTube if you want to see it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Oh, hey, Steals, yeah. The Reels. Good to see you. Hey, well, listen, Aaron, thanks, buddy. Good report. It's good report as always.
Thank you.
We're going to cut you loose and look forward to getting another report next Monday. All right, Aaron. Thanks, buddy.
By that time, we'll find out what primetime games will be for the NFL this season, too.
Oh, well, we look forward to you giving us that report and telling
absolutely.
Us what's going on. All right, Aaron.
Bye,
thanks,
Aaron.
Buddy. Thanks, buddy. It's the A-Dog Sports Report with Aaron. Thanks, Aaron. Good stuff going on. Real good stuff going on. Hey, you know, we don't think that we kind of just throw money out. We don't waste money. You know, we don't think of it. And I saw this statistic the other day, and it just kind of blew me away. And it said, do you want to save? It says, if you needlessly spend $27.40 a day, and I'm thinking, that could be pretty easy to do. I mean, you know, how many coffees do you buy? How many burgers? How much stuff do you just kind of spend? You know, you see something, you get it. You know, you don't need it, but you get it. $27.40 a day. If you spend $27.40 a day on needless stuff, stuff you don't really need, you know, coffees, burgers, you know, this, that, this or the other, you've spent $10,000 in a year.
Wow. Wow.
I know. $27.40 a day, you'll spend, that's $10,000 in a year's time.
Holy moly.
Holy
Hi, Glass. Welcome.
Moly. I know when you start thinking of it like
that. Aside.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, and we all do it. You know, we go, we stop for a coffee here, get another coffee
Ralph.
There.
There's Ralph if you needed Ralph. Hi, Ralph.
I mean, you could get three coffees and that's $15. You know, that's easily $15. You know, well, you're almost.
Not
you're only
go to 7-Eleven and buy an iced coffee for $1.
Right. Right. But I mean, you know, the whole point.
No, I understand. That's a lot of money. You could put that away. You can just say, okay, I'm going to put away $30 every month.
Well, that's only a dollar a day. Yeah. Yeah.
In the, on this. So you said 27 something a day.
$27.40 a day. Yeah.
Okay.
$27.40 a day. That equals to $10,000 a year.
Okay, so you could put just say I'm going to put $30 away instead of spending that money. I'm going to round it up to $30, and then you'll have how much money?
Yeah, it's just amazing.
$1? Whoa! Yeah.
Now see, Mr. T's dad, because I worked with him for 12 years. One day, and he was a partier. I mean, we worked at the same place. We were in our 20s. And old Rich, man, he was a partier, single, living at mom's, working, and just partying like crazy. And so he's, what's that? My wife yells at me because I spend $50 a week on coffee alone.
Oh, man.
Man, you're spending almost $20,000 a year. No,
that's why she's yelling at you.
No, that's 50 times 52. That's a lot of money, man. But anyway, I asked him, hey, Rich, you going to go out partying this weekend? Where are you going to go? He goes, no, I quit drinking. I go, what?
Yeah, because I was just going to say, people will very easily, okay, let's say Mr. Steels, for instance, instead, let's say he used to drink tequila every whatchamacallit and spend and just dish out. It's okay to dish out that money for that, but if I'd wanted to save it or spend it on something else, you know, less, then it's not okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People have a weird sense in their brain that it's just, I don't know, you know?
Yeah. So anyway, Rich said, and I asked him, I said, well, why you quit just like that? He goes, yep, just like that. Ain't drinking no more. Now, this is a guy that used to stop and pick up a 6-pack of beer every day going home from work.
Okay.
Now, at the time, that was probably in the 70s. That was probably, you know, a good $6-7 a 6-pack, something like that. Now, I don't know what a 6-pack costs nowadays.
Yeah, I have no
but,
idea.
I mean, you know, but you do that a day. You know, he did that a day. Plus, all his drinking on the weekend at the bars, and that's not cheap. You know,
no, and then you tip you know, people usually.
Yeah, so yeah and you, you know, and all this and that. And he quit. And I go, what? So I asked him, I go, what happened? What'd you do? He goes, man, I figured out how much money I was spending a week. And I said, no, I'm going to save that money. And he did what you said, Dina Jo. He put it in an account. He saved it. I'm putting it towards my retirement. Oh, my God.
Or doing something else that he wants to do for himself.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm going to do that.
So if you think about it, if it's just if it is if it don't think of it as 27, don't think of it as 20, let's say $28. Think of it, think of instead of 28, think of $14. $14 a day. That's $5,000 in a year. So instead of needlessly spending $14 a day on stuff, coffees, burgers, chips, doing this, doing that. Put that in a jar. By the end of in a year's time, you'll have $5,000 sitting there in a jar. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. I read that and I was shocked. But that's how it is, you know. And like you said, Dean Joe, we just don't think of it. We don't think nothing of it, you know. Put it in a jar, save it. By the time by the end of the year, you'll have it. Yeah. Now there's Ralph. Okay, speaking of Ralph.
Ralph.
He already knows. So, you know, I complain, you know, and you've heard me complain on this show many a times about squirrels, you know, squirrels running around in the yard and getting into that. And I've chased raccoons out of the yard and all kinds of stuff, you know, and like, well, get out of here. You know, Ralph sends me a picture this morning and he says, this is what was in my yard this morning. It's a black bear trying to get into his shed. It was on its hind feet. And it wasn't completely straight, standing straight up. But I think if it did, it'd be at least 6 feet. It had be at least a six foot bear. And, you know, and it probably weighed. If it's a 6 foot bear, it's probably up there almost 400 pounds. And I'm going, oh, my God.
Where are you, Ralph?
And he just takes a picture from his deck. Ryan. Look what was trying to get into my shed this morning. Oh, my gosh. What the French toast is that?
Are you surrounded? Like by, I've seen pictures before that he posted.
By Ralph, hi, Gladys.
I don't remember where I saw this.
Of deer posted, coming in the yard.
Yeah. Nice. Of a deer, like, coming in his yard. And I was like, well, where? It kind of looks foresty behind him.
Yeah, I don't know. But Ralph.
To go away.
He yelled at it. And it just looked at him, hey, there's that guy. And the bear just looks at him like, ah, you know.
Yeah, I would let you. Oh, my gosh.
I can't imagine that even happening. You know, you just go outside to get rid of the trash. You come around a corner and you're face to face with a brown bear.
Yeah, if he's got bears there going like that, you probably can't keep anything in your cars, huh? If you have them coming around anywhere, you know, that close. You cannot keep anything in your car, or they tear it up. Anything that has a scent in it, they will destroy your vehicle.
Well, that picture he sent me looked like that thing was about ready to rip that door off his barn, his little shed there.
Oh, I bet. Do you have bird seed or something in there?
Did the shed survive, Ralph? Did the shed survive?
Julia, welcome.
Good grief, man.
It's kind of cool to be able to see that nature. You know what I mean? Because now, now yeah. I have all around me, I have some open on one side, but the rest, it's just speeding cars all the time. You know what I mean?
Right.
We're invading their space. It's kind of like they're kind of coming in, not knowing where to go.
And it looks like Ralph is elevated. He's on a deck, so he's looking down on it. So it's not like he's down there looking eye to eye to the thing.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, he's, yeah. Oh, my word.
And the way Ralph said it in the thing, he said, he goes, hey, look what I saw in my yard this morning. Like, you know, it's no like, it's just stone, you know.
It must happen. It must happen.
Now, if I did that, I'd be sending pictures to Dina Jo going, oh, my God, look what's in my yard.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Never seen a bear. I've seen two deer, which was kind of shocking. But like I said, behind me is that open field, and it's a drain where the water collects.
Right.
And it goes across the street to an open field that goes all the way down to Denver and then all the way down south. So, you know, they have ways to travel. That's what they travel through. Are those little
And you've got foxes. You've got foxes.
Mm-hmm. We got foxes all around us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
The coolest thing I saw in my yard, well, I had the raccoons. They were pretty cool. The raccoons and possums, I got to admit, they were kind of cool. But the coolest thing I saw was I'm sitting there watching the ball game. I happened to look out my patio door, the big glass door there. And there was like these three or four ducks just walking through the pad, walking on, you know, through the patio, just marching in a line. And it's like, what the French toast is going on here? They're just marching through the yard. And I think I grabbed my phone and I believe I sent you a video of them.
You took pictures.
But they just walked through the yard, walked all the way through the yard, walked over to the neighbor's fence and walked along the fence. I'm just going, well, thanks, guys. You know, just parading through the yard.
Stopped in for a visit.
Yeah, stop by to see what's going on. Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, well, with the foxes, by the way, I'm not quite sure because we're finding all of this out that, they recently, it was a couple weeks ago, weekends ago, I have these two raised little beds that I had lettuce in. Well, the foxes, we researched it because one day we found a dead parts of a rabbit head, and it was parts of it were over in one spot, and then a trail went back. Woody Bush went back to this raised garden bed, and they dig and they hide stuff. And so two weekends ago, I was pulling a couple things, and I was like, "What the heck is in here?" It was a humongous rawhide dog toy. Like a round braided, I'm huge for a big dog, and we don't give our dogs the rawhide. So we just figured it had to be that fox again. He comes in and he digs up my garden and puts his stuff in there. So I don't know what I want to plant lettuce there, but I'm afraid he's going to keep coming back and hiding stuff. I don't know how to keep him out of there.
Well, maybe he'll leave it. He might leave it alone if there's plants growing in
okay.
it. Maybe. Tunnel says he has deer in his area and stuff like wolves, coyotes, and foxes. Yeah. I don't know if I'd want no wolves flying around.
I don't know if I'd want a wolf either. I've seen coyotes and foxes.
I don't know if I want any wolves flying around.
Flying wolves. I wouldn't want any flying wolves either.
I wouldn't want any flying wolves either. Yeah, we always had coyotes. When I grew up in Tucson, we were out.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of them.
We had coyotes everywhere, you know.
In the desert, that's where you can think of them.
Oh, man. Well, I read this other thing too, talking about squirrels. This guy, he decided he was going to feed the squirrels, so he would put peanuts out on his the rail of his patio. He would just put a little trail of peanuts out there, you know, and then he'd get up in the morning and the peanuts would be gone. Oh, and he'd put more peanuts out there to feed the squirrels and that. Well, the squirrel he went out there to check. And now, all of a sudden, these rubber bands are showing up where the peanuts are. And it's like the squirrels are bringing him rubber bands. I don't know. You know, squirrels are gatherers. Squirrels are gatherers. They'll gather stuff out in the yard and all that, build their nests and all that stuff. You know, because squirrels make a nest up in the tree kind of like a bird does, only it's bigger and not as... not as good looking as a bird nest, but a squirrel does. And trading his penis for rubber bands.
Well, that's another thing. We've been finding peanut shells in my empty beds. I'm like, where in the heck are all these peanut shells coming from? It's those dang squirrels coming to irritate Billy. They're leaving the peanut shells over there.
They're cleaning up their mess.
And leaving it in the yard. I don't give them peanuts. I don't give them anything because they just irritate Billy, the older ones. But I did see a baby squirrel. Oh my gosh, it was so cute. It was the tiniest little thing. And it was kind of funny because it was like they were moving. Uh-huh. I don't know, because there was four of them and there was two adults and then there was a little itty bitty baby one. And then there was like maybe a toddler, because that's the one, like there was a mom in the front, a dad in the back and the two in the middle. And then the little one was like really super close to the mom. And then the other one, which was a little bit bigger, was acting all crazy. He would go down the fence and then like the dad would go down after it and tell it to get back up. And then they would get back up and then they would all freeze. You know, they'd look around to see if Billy was coming and then they'd run. And they went, our neighbors, we don't have any neighbors next door. And they went over there, I think, because it's safe. They don't have any dogs or anything. But it was the cutest little thing. He was tiny, tiny little squirrel.
I have never seen a little baby squirrel.
He was cute.
I think I may have seen some, young adult squirrels, but I don't think I've seen any. I haven't seen anything smaller than a normal squirrel. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see.
He's cute. No, it wasn't as much. They were all squirrels because it was like the mom, and then he'd crawl up next. He'd stop and like he was really scared, and he'd get by the mom, and then the mom would just like kind of stay with them, and then the dad or whoever the other adult was chasing after that other one, and they'd all get together again, and then they'd stop, and then they'd go a little bit further down the fence. Oh, it was so cute. We've seen baby raccoons too.
That's right. You had that picture of them all staring at you. That was hilarious.
Yeah, in the middle when I took out Billy in the morning, and they just all froze, and they're like all on the mom's back, just frozen.
And then after the picture was taken, you could hear the squirrel, mama squirrel going, okay, now see that? That's a human. You want to stay away from them because they're nasty. They've got diseases. You want to stay away from them.
They were cute.
Hi, Angie.
They were cute. Good to see you.
Hey, let me play this little promo thing I got here.
Okay.
Hey, I found this new service on Twitter called Podcast Overlord. Is your podcast stuck in a Twitter fog? Overlord services can help, from retweeting your tweets to a more enhanced service where they will create daily posts for you. Overlord services can burn a hole through that fog and shine a light on whatever it is you want the world to see. Check out overlordshop.com/store. That's overlordshop.com/store. Check them out today. See what they can do for you. Try them. Give them a check. Check them out if you got a
podcast. Yeah, Cubella, that's who you were asking about, the Don who was retweeting Eric's stuff. That's who they are.
Yeah, that's who they are. Podcast mm-hmm. Overlords. Yeah. And that's how I got hooked up with them, because they were retweeting my stuff. And I thought, well, that's funny. And then I checked them out and I saw for as little as $7 a month or $8 a month, they'll make their own podcast. I mean, they'll make their own Twitter post featuring you, and they'll make sure it gets out and all the, you know, they'll promote you and all this and that. And that's mm-hmm. what I've done. And we've seen excellent results from these guys. They do a knockout job. So if you've got a podcast, I mean, check them out, see what they can do for you. I mean, they do a good job. And a lot of the stuff they do, they're doing for free. I mean,
yeah.
Well, and I know like Don has retweeted some of my other tweets where I promote when like the Beans and Weenie show and John Bell's Talking That Live goes live.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. He'll do it for them. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, they're already kind of doing it for a lot of people. Throw them a little cash. I mean, throw them a little money and become a Patreon with them. That's what it is. You become a Patreon and help them out. And help out WESN, Epic Strategies Network, too. I mean, they've got a fundraising drive going on right now where they're trying to reach the goal for their to do their, you know, to keep that station up and running. And, you know, we were just talking about, you know, how we waste $2,740 a day, and that'd be like $10,000 a year. Well, instead of buying those extra cups of coffee, you know, throw a little cash towards the WESN Epic Strategies Network and help them out. I mean, we've got shows on there, and we as a podcast, we support them monetarily also too. So just help them out. Give them a help. Keep that music alive. I always base things on keeping the music alive. And that's what we got to do. Speaking of music, everybody. Are you ready? It's time for Dina Jo to take control. Presenting music history, sharing information on artists and their music. Here she is, Dina Jo! I tell you, Dina Jo, the road you're taking us down today is just tickled me to death, because this is my favorite type of music. Oh. One of my favorite types of music. And, you know, and she's going to take us down the road of big band swing music from the 30s, 40s. And I tell you, if you're not familiar with this music, this is a real treat. You'll really enjoy it. There you go. Yes. It's all yours.
Thank you. Yeah. And I'm glad you like it. And no, it's going to be a big band and swing. And I'm kind of doing it for Eric, because Eric mentioned some of the music.
It was a great suggestion.
So we're going to start the first three days more with kind of a big band swing. And then Thursday and Friday is going to go more into the swing modern version of it. So today we're going to start with Billy Strayhorn, and the song is Take the A Train. William Thomas Strayhorn was the American jazz composer, pianist, lyricist, and arranger. After seeing Duke Ellington play in Pennsylvania in 1933, Strayhorn met him in December of 1938 after Ellington performed there. He first explained and then showed the band leader how he would have arranged one of Duke's own pieces. Ellington was impressed enough to invite other band members to hear Strayhorn. At the end of the visit, he arranged for Strayhorn to meet him when the band returned to New York. Strayhorn worked for Ellington in the next quarter of a century as arranger, composer, occasional pianist, and collaborator until his early death from cancer. As Ellington described him, Billy Strayhorn was one of my right arm, my left arm, all of my eyes in the back of my head, my brain waves in my head, and he is mine. Duke Ellington also listed what he considered Strayhorn's four major moral freedoms: freedom from hate unconditionally, freedom from self-pity, even though all the pain and bad news, freedom from fear of possibility of doing something that might possibly hurt another more than it might himself, and freedom from the kind of pride that might make a man that think that he was better than his brother or his neighbor. Here is Billy Strayhorn with Take the A Train. Welcome, Daphne.
This is great music. And if you keep it in context, this was the rock and roll of those days. Take the A Train.
Welcome back, Blue Bush.
And that song was covered by a lot of bands.
Yes.
Take the A Train. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good song.
Thank you.
As all a rare fact, that Chicago song, the Chicago album, Night and Day, where they do the big band covers, I believe they do Take the A Train on that album. Chicago. Excellent. Sorry, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No problem. Number two on our list today is going to be the Andrews Sisters with Boogie Woogie Boogle Boy. The Andrews Sisters were an American close harmony singing group of the swing and boogie woogie era. The sisters have sold an estimated 80 million records. The group was among the inaugurated inductees to the Vocal Group Hall of Fame upon its opening in 1998. In the years just before and during World War II, the Andrews Sisters were at the height of their popularity, and the group still tends to be associated in the minds, public's minds, with war years. They are still widely acclaimed today for their famous close harmonies. They were inducted into the Minnesota Rock and Country Hall of Fame in May of 2006. Here is the Andrews Sisters with Boogie Woogie Boogle Boy.
I love this song.
He was a famous trumpet man from our Chicago way. He had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was the top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, a blowing reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. They made him blow a bugle for his Uncle Sam.
The boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. The Andrews Sisters. Yeah, I guess they were doing a lot of USO shows and that kind of stuff for the troops. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
Well, and I know some of these songs that we're playing are nearing their centennial anniversary in terms of when they debuted.
Sure, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you watch the movie Memphis Belle, there's a movie out there called Memphis Belle. It's about a B-17 bomber in World War II. They have a big party with all the officers and everything, and they do this song in there. The girls group gets up there and does the song. The girls group that does the song in the movie is, I believe, it's either the Pointer Sisters. I think it's the Pointer Sisters. I think they're the ones that are doing the song in the movie. But it's a great song.
Oh, good. And Matt Marty does too. I'm so glad. Okay, number three is going to be Benny Goodman with Sing, Sing, Sing. Benjamin David Goodman was an American jazz clarinetist and piano leader known as the King of Swing. From 1936 until the mid-40s, Goodman led one of the most popular swing big bands in the United States. He sold out concerts in Carnegie Hall in New York City in January of 1938 and is described by critic Bruce Elder as the single most important jazz or popular music concert in history. Jazz upcoming out party to the world of a respectful music. Goodman's band started the careers of many jazz musicians during an era of racist segregation. He led one of the first integrated jazz groups, his quartet and quintet. He performed nearly to the end of his life while exploring an interest in classical music. Here is Benny Goodman with Sing, Sing, Sing. Welcome, JJY. Oh, I know this one now.
Yeah.
Hi, Asha.
Benny Goodman was a clarinet player.
Yes, Q, I think so. I think it was.
Yeah, this could very well have been in the movie The Mask.
I think it was, yeah.
Or unless there was like a variation of it.
Yeah. This is Sing, Sing, Sing. Benny Goodman's orchestra.
Oh, okay. And
there's Benny Goodman right there. There's Benny Goodman on the clarinet. All right.
Hi, Shannon. Good to see you. And Dee also mentioned that the Andrews sisters also covered Sing, Sing, Sing. A lot of these were covered by other people and done really well, too.
Yeah, there's there are words to a lot of these songs. But the people like the orchestras, like Benny Goodman's and all these guys, you know, they just played the music because they were also famous as just musical numbers, too. Musical numbers and vocal numbers. So, yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right, number four is going to be Jimmy Dorsey.
I love Jimmy Dorsey.
It is true what they say. Is it true what they say about Dixie? I don't know. James Francis Dorsey was an American jazz clarinetist, saxophonist, composer, and big band leader. He formed an orchestra with his brother, Tommy Dorsey, lasting from 1933 to 1935, and then led his own orchestra, rejoining Tommy's orchestra in 1953. And taking over orchestra as when Tommy died, he made many records. Jimmy Dorsey had 11 number one hits with his orchestra from 1930 to the 1940s. In 1935, he had two more number one in part of the Dorsey Brothers Orchestra. Here is Jimmy Dorsey with "Is It True What They Say About Dixie?"
And Tommy Dorsey was a trombone player. It's really funny when you listen to this music. Now, like Jimmy Dorsey, clarinet player, sax player. So when his bands played stuff, the wind instruments were highlighted. Like here, saxes, saxophones, clarinets. But when his brother's band played thing, being a trombone player, the brass instruments were the highlighted, like the trombones, the trumpets, and all that. It's really interesting, the arrangements. Is it true what they say? Jimmy Dorsey and his orchestra. 1936. The years on his feet, man. I'm telling you. Like Eric said, man, we're good. They're closing up on, a lot of these songs are over 100 years old.
Or getting close to it. And I would imagine probably on this list somewhere would probably be the theme song that you commonly hear in, like, the Little Rascals classic TV show and the movie from, like, almost 25, 30 years ago called Good Old Days. But if we don't get to that today, it'll probably be on that list very soon.
We'll see. We'll see.
All right. So then let's go to number five on our list is going to be Duke Ellington. I don't mean a thing if you ain't got the swing. Composer, pianist, conductor, holder of an honorary music degree from Wilberforce University and LHD from Milton, College, Duke Ellington led his own orchestra by 1918 and came to New York in 1923, appearing at the Cotton Club between 23 and 3rd, 1932. One of the most famous artists in the big band scene was Duke Ellington, who was considered to be the most innovative composer and arranger during that time. He often composed music around the strengths of soloists in the big band. Some of the jazz musicians who were members of Ellington's orchestra, such as saxophonist Johnny Hodge, are considered among the best players in the enum. Ellington melded both of them into the best regarded orchestra unit in the history of jazz. Some members stayed with the orchestra for several decades. Here's Duke Ellington with "It Don't Mean Thing If You Ain't Got That Swing."
Now, before I play the song,
I
found several different versions of this song with Duke Ellington's orchestra. And he'd have people like, they were like Ella Fitzgerald, Louis Armstrong, you know, these kind of guest singers singing this thing. Well, I found one from 1943 where it's just Duke Ellington's orchestra's doing this. So like when it comes to a vocal part, it'd be like one of the sax players standing up and singing, or one of the trumpet players singing the part. So this is the entire Duke Ellington Orchestra without any of the famous vocalists that he had sit in with him. So this is a good thing.
Don't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing. It don't mean a thing.
Yeah, she sang it with the Duke Ellington Orchestra.
Oh, yes.
Makes no difference if it's sweet or hot. Just give that rhythm every little thing you've got. It don't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing.
That's a trombone with what they call a mute on it. Oh, what great music, man. Duke Ellington. It don't be the thing without a swing, without that swing. Oh, my God. And then plus, too, I found a video. And so I'm watching these guys play this stuff. This video is like real old. It's all crackly.
Hi, Dr. Love. Good to see you.
Oh, man.
Dr. Love. Welcome.
Okay. Last. Well, no, there should be.
Not last.
Two more. This is just a long one here. Number 6, Count Basie and Frank Sinatra, featuring Frank Sinatra, The Best Is Yet to Come. William James Count Basie was American jazz pianist, organist, band player, and band leader and composer. In 1935, he formed the Count Basie Orchestra, and in 1936, took them to Chicago for a long arrangement in their first recording. He led the group for almost 50 years, creating innovations like the use of a two-split tenor saxophonist, emphasizing the rhythm section, riffing with big bands, using arrangers to broaden their sound, and others. Many musicians came to prominence under his direction. Basie hitched his star to some of the most famous vocalists of the 50s and 60s, including Frank Sinatra, who recorded for the first time with Basie in 1962. And for his second studio album in 64, It Might As Well Be Swing, which was arranged by Quincy Jones. Jones also arranged and conducted 1966 Live Sinatra at the Sands, which featured Sinatra and Count Basie and his orchestra at the Sands Hotel in Las Vegas. In 1970, Sinatra performed in London's Royal Fiesta Hall with Basie's orchestra in a charity benefit for the National Society for Prevention of Cruelty for Children. Sinatra later said the concert, "I have the funny feeling that those two nights could have been the finest hours, really. It was so well done, so thrilling and exciting." Basie also recorded with Tony Bennett, Sammy Davis Jr., Bing Crosby, and Sarah Vaughan. One of Basie's biggest regrets was never recording with Louis Armstrong, though they shared the same bill several times. Here is Count Basie with Frank Sinatra with "The Best Is Yet to Come."
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum.
That's how Frank Sinatra got his start, is singing in these big bands.
You came along and everything started in to hum. Still, it's a real good bet. The best is yet to come.
Best Sinatra was a part of that famous rap pack with Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr. Can't think of any other names that weren't there.
And it's funny, Eric, that Duke Ellington backed the other people in the Rat Pack on other songs.
Oh, yes. If it hadn't been for Duke Ellington, you know, I think Frank Sinatra and the gang would not be the success that they were.
Could be. So this is Duke Ellington featuring Frank Sinatra in It Don't Mean a Thing. No, that's the wrong one. The Best Is Yet to Come. Sorry.
The best is yet to come and babe, Frank. Won't it be fine?
The best is yet to come.
Well, Frank's daughter, Nancy, has had a good music career, too, even though she took a few years off to raise her kids after her husband died.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she could sing, too. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. Lastly on our list today, this is Eric, the one that Eric likes, right? I'm Glenn Miller in the Mood. Elton Glenn Miller was an American big band trombonist, arranger, composer, and band leader in the swing era. He was the best-selling recording artist of 1939 to 1942, leading one of the best-known big bands. In just 4 years, Miller scored 16 number one records and 69 top 10 hits, more than Elvis and the Beatles did in their careers. In 1942, Miller volunteered to join the U.S. military to entertain the troops during World War II, ending up with the U.S. Army Air Force. On December 15, 1944, while flying to Paris, Miller's craft disappeared in bad weather over the English Canal. He was posthumously awarded the Bronze Star Medal. Here is Glenn Miller with In the Mood.
This is my all-time favorite song right here.
And of course, Glenn Miller was a rock star of his day, too.
Yes, he was. First time I was exposed to this song is like I was a sophomore in high school playing in a high school swing band. And this was one of the songs that we learned and played.
Tell you a funny story about this after it's done.
There's a great movie starring Jimmy Stewart. About Glenn Miller. It might be called Glenn Miller Story. I'm not sure. But it's a great movie. You should watch it. It's an oldie, but it's a good movie. It's about him and his music and his relationship with his wife. Glenn Miller Story. Jimmy Stewart. What a great song.
I modeled in a mall to that song. It
did
was
you,
like a,
really?
I swear to you, that's why I remember that song. It was like this little pencil net suit kind of thing. It was a mall, like they modeled all the clothes in the mall. And that's what I was wearing. And I came out to that song with this other girl down the little thing. That's why I remember that song. Yep.
It's my favorite song of all time. Isn't that funny?
So
funny. The parallels in our lives. Well, I was a sophomore in high school, and I challenged our senior in the band for the first tenor sax chair in that swing band. I challenged him. And this was the song we played, and I beat him. We had to play the song. Each of us did the solo part, and then we left the room, and then the band voted. Whoever they felt performed it best and got moved to the first chair. And I spanked them. I spanked them big time. you're right. This movie, that song was a big thing in the Jerry Lewis Nutty Professor too. But if you get a chance and you can see it, look up and watch that Glenn Miller Story with Jimmy Stewart. It's a good movie. And the relationship with his wife, it's kind of the ending, it's kind of a sad ending with him disappearing over the English Channel and that. But it's a great movie. So good music, Dina Jo.
Oh, thank you. Well, there's more to come all week.
Man, this music is close to my heart. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And thanks for the idea, Eric.
Well, I know we've had like classic music shows on Sunday a couple years ago, but I know that they're probably being played over on WESN. But like these more modern classics, I'm sure even other like more modern artists like Freddie Mercury from Queen had studied this kind of music along with other like music from the 1700s and 1800s when he was alive.
Oh yeah.
Maybe to inspire him to write original music because he didn't want to sound too much like other modern day artists.
Yeah. These old timers, reaching back even into the Beethovens and Brahms and Mozarts into these guys, they all influenced the musicians that we, you know, that we have today. You know, mm-hmm. those kids, they grew up listening to this stuff. The Beatles over in England, they grew up listening to this swing music. Yeah. They grew up listening to this stuff. You know, their parents were playing it. And it's funny, their parents, they loved the swing music and they were the rebels. You know, when they started listening to the swing music, you know, oh, you're listening to the devil's music. Oh, that's terrible. Turn it off. So then they grow up and they're listening to the swing music and all this and that. And then when the Elvis and the rock and roll started coming on, oh, that's of the devil. Don't be listening to that music.
Hi, Ronnie Through.
It's funny. Hi, Ronnie. It's funny. It is so funny. But each generation or music influenced the coming generation. And yeah, yeah. And I just love it that there's bands out there that still play this stuff. And I think, Dina Jo, you said you're going to go into the more modern bands, the modern swing bands.
On Thursday.
Yeah.
I think it's Thursday.
Yeah.
Thursday's a little bit towards the end. It'll be more it gets more modern, and then Friday for sure.
Yeah.
Modern. Yeah.
I think one of the bands I know of that really grabs a hold of this swing music is that Seltzer's.
Yeah, Brian Seltzer.
Orchestra.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he really embraces swing music. So
yeah, he's on there for sure.
Yeah. Good. Good mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure, it's going to be a lot of modern swing.
Yeah,
music and
good stuff, man. I'm telling you, keep the music alive. Got to keep the music alive.
The next following week, at the 16th, I'm going to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, James Taylor essential playlist, and then Thursday and Friday will be 16 love songs that are kind of creepy.
Wow. Now I'm looking forward to that.
So that's the week of the 16th. I'll be doing those ones. So, yeah.
Man, I am so proud and impressed with you, Dina Jo. You just you're thinking you've got your lists already in advance and looking things over, and man, you are a music lover. That's what I love about you.
Thank you.
Music keeps the lives going, man. I'm telling you, mm-hmm. we all have music going on in our lives. I was working on music last night for the WESN network. I'm starting another little playlist. It's going to play separate from everything, separate from the blues show, and it's a Motown, soul, and R&B. And I've got it. I finished up the first edition of that show, and it's posted and scheduled for Saturday. It's scheduled for Saturday, and I have to go and look in the time and see what I scheduled it for. But on Saturday on the WESN from noon to 6 p.m. Eastern time, you've got it is just going to be blasting and cranking out great music, because you got the blues show, you got the Motown soul R&B show, and then you've got another one, and I can't remember which one it is. Done another one right there. So we are really hitting the music good. So you're going to enjoy this. I'm finding some Motown, soul, and R&B stuff that you probably haven't really heard except for maybe one or two times. I mean, I was blown away by some of the music. Plus, I'm throwing in some oldies, some older stuff, you know, stuff that is familiar. But I'm looking for the unfamiliar stuff, you know. So I found this one. And it's by the Pointer Sisters, and it's called Black Coffee. It is an excellent song. It's about this lady sitting in her kitchen, sitting there early or late, whatever you want to say, in the morning or late at night, sitting there smoking cigarettes, drinking her black coffee, waiting for her man to come home. It is a great song. So it's a good song. So anyway, I found that and I thought, oh my god, listen to this is great. So it's also listed in the blues show too. It's a double lister. It's listed in the soul and it's listed in the blues. So you just got to keep the music going, people. Mm-hmm. Got to keep the music going. So that's good. All right, well, I got, you know, today I got to work on, I got to set up some computer stuff for Grammy. Grammy wants to go electronic on some stuff. and she's asking me, you know, I need to set up on this and that. Okay, so I got to be the IT guy today, and I'm, it's going to be stressful for the old man. So
you can do it.
I just got to take my time. I just got to take my time and
bye, Shonda,
make sure.
You have a good day. Be safe out there.
Yeah. Oh, Shonda's, she's got to pull out and leave. Well, you know what? So do we, because it's time. Time is stuck up on us and the show is over. What a great show. Great music, Dina Joe. Thank you very much. Great idea, Eric, for the big band music. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We really appreciate you coming in and spending your morning with us, or your early afternoon. I hope you had a good time. We did. We had a good time. Well, I did. I can't speak for this. Dina Joe and Eric.
Please.
Oh, we had a good time. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be here all week, 7 a.m. Pacific time, Monday through Friday. You can find us right here cranking out some more music from Dina Joe's wonderful music lists, and just having a good time. So keep an eye out for things that are going on out there in your yard. You never know. You might find a black bear trying to get into your shed.
Yeah, be careful.
Eric, you want to plug some shows that are coming up today that you know of?
Well, I know Milk Dog, you know, he's on. Jeff Moore's on today, along with a couple other friends. John Gale should be coming your way today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time with the TalkNet Live. And then in prime time, you've got the Beans and Weenie show, so be on lookout for that. And then Ralph should be back tomorrow morning, as always. And I know we'll be back tomorrow, same time as always, as well. And then, of course, you got Slack Ready 2 and Frankie D and The Swap Doesn't Lie and Most Darren's Pores, you know, coming up a little bit later this week. And then be on lookout for John DeVito as he appears to be slowly coming back from taking some time off. And then still waiting for Slightly Serious to come back at some point.
All right. Thanks, Eric. And a big thank you to Aaron for his A-Dog Sports Report. Thanks, buddy. Look forward to those on Monday. Does a great job. Thanks, Aaron. Thank you very much. Have a great day, everybody. This is the start of the week, Monday. Monday the 9th. Let's get it going. Let's crank it into gear. Let's get going. We got a few days to go before hump day, and then we can cruise right into the weekend. I don't know of any holidays that are coming up. Don't see any on the calendar. We'll have Dina Joe maybe tomorrow give us a list of upcoming holidays or national holidays. Get back to seeing what's going on out there and out. All right.
Oh, hi, Rita.
Hi, Rita. You come in and caught us at the end. Come back tomorrow at 7 a.m. And now, a final word from our master of ceremonies, Dina Joe.
Be the reason someone smiles today. Let your smile change the world, but don't let the world change your smile. Thanks so much for joining us, and again for all your support. We seriously couldn't do it without you guys. So and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't do it without any of you guys being here to support me. So thank you, and we appreciate y'all. See you around Podbean. Love ya. Bye.
Miss Dina Joe. She's right. This would be hard to do without all you people. We do it for you. We want to spread some happiness and joy to you and help you get out there and have a good day. So thanks again. Our music's coming to an end. We're out of here. Come back tomorrow. We'll be looking for you. We'll be looking for you tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody. We're out of here.
See you next time and around Podbean.
Bye.
Later, Gators.